Friday's nursery time. All right. We're going to deal with a subject today that everybody deals with. Everybody. Nobody here is immune to it in any way, shape, or form. Before I go on, let me say, I'll be back to the doctor tomorrow. I'll be back in my cast. So I'll be back to looking like I'm a jogger or something next Sunday again. But don't know how long I'll be in it, but we'll stay in a little bit longer this winter, see what we can do with my foot. But anyway, just keep me in prayers. I'll go back into that tomorrow. But this subject is called worry. Everybody here, on some level, worries about something. And it's not just a woman thing or a man thing. It's a humanity thing. We, somehow or another, are just wired to worry. And it doesn't make any difference. Once you become a Christian, people say, well, you know, I don't worry no more. Oh, yes, you will. But we have to come to understand something, folks. Worry harms you a lot more than it harms anybody else. The reason a lot of the health issues that I've got today is because of worry. And I always say a lot of times when people come and talk to me about they can't seem to quit worrying, I always say the same thing. We'll pick your battles. There are some things that we probably are just going to have to worry about. That's going to be part of life. But just because your socks don't match, don't worry about it. Okay? Or just because somebody lost a ball game, let's don't get all upset about it. And I'm talking to me here. I see that right now. Thank you. So we have to understand, worry is something that is a part of life, but when it starts controlling your life, that's when you're going to have some problems. And that's easily, especially if it's, and usually we worry more about other people than we do ourselves. Now, some people worry about themselves, but more likely we're worried about something else besides ourselves. It could be a spouse, it could be a parent, it could be a child, it could be a job, it could be something. But we're worried about something. Does that make sense so far? Everybody agree with that? All right. Before we get into it, let's read our introduction as we always do. Thoughts are things. Powerful things. Our thoughts have the power to lift us up or hold us back. Our prevailing attitudes have the power to create happiness or dissatisfaction, joy or pain, peace or stress, success or failures. Worry. Listen to this writer. He's got this pen, believe me. Because we have the ability to think. All of you do have that ability, don't you? You can think, can't you? All right. We also have the ability to worry. Because worry is a thought process. If you can't think, you can't worry. Makes sense. From time to time, all of us are plagued by occasional periods of discouragement and doubt. Even though we may believe sincerely in God's love and protection, we may find ourselves fretting over the countless obligations and details of everyday life. You know what an obligation is? If you get up and you go to work, you've got an obligation. Anybody here don't have bills? Sure, you got a bill. Some of us have one bill. Some of us have 15 bills. But we got bills. And I don't mean dollar bills. I mean bills that you have to pay. That's what obligation is. You got a family? You got a wife? You got a husband? You got children? And today in our society, a lot of grandparents are raising grandchildren. You've got obligations. And that's what motivates you. Because you have a lot of people that depend on you. Well, when they depend on you, that means it's on your back. It's on your watch. It's on your ability to make a living to provide for the people that you're responsible for. Now that within itself ought to be enough to worry you, shouldn't it? What if I get in an accident? What if I get sick? What if my company closes down? What if I get injured? What if I get laid off? And everybody here has had to deal with that in some way, shape, or form. And even if you're retired, fixed income, you still got bills. Some of you still got kids that ain't grown up yet. And then you got grandkids. Now, understand this one thing. Everything that you have to deal with so far, well, all I'm saying is pretty depressing, isn't it? Now, I'm supposed to lift you up, and I'm just depressing you at the wazoo, aren't I? I mean, look at all the responsibilities that you've got. Man, no wonder you can't get up in the morning. But understand this. There's not a responsibility that you have that God doesn't know you have that responsibility. Do you know that? You've got that responsibility, but He knows you've got that responsibility. He knows what you've got to deal with once your feet hit the floor. And here's the deal. If I'm worrying when my feet hit the floor, I'm going to feel awful because I ain't slept with a nickel. And when you go days without sleeping because you're worried or you can't rest your mind, then it really, really comes down hard on you. Now, have I told the truth so far? That's what it is. They call it life. They call it life. Let's talk more about life. Because of our humanity, because we're human beings, Jesus understood what worry was about. And He addressed this topic clearly and forcefully in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Now listen to this. I'm not going to put this up on the screen, but listen to it. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life. Now Jesus is speaking. What you eat, what you drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? We all know we have to have clothes. You cannot worship with people that are naked. Believe me, that would change the whole attitude, this whole congregation. And it's not what I would have to look at, it's what you have to look at. That wasn't funny. Yeah. Thank God for clothes. God knows you need clothes. He knows you need food. He knows you need water. He knows you need shelter. He knows that. He cares for the birds. You know He loves us more than birds. Birds don't have to worry about this kind of stuff, and yet they seem to be taken care of. Understand this. When you put God first, God's going to put you first. When you pray to God, God will see that your needs are met. Now there is a difference, and here's where worry comes in. There's a difference between meeting your needs and meeting your wants. Big difference. Now, I praise God when sometimes He allows me to have what I want because I'm a human being. But what I need to understand, what's more important is He sees that I have what I need. That whether I worry about it or not, He's going to take care of me. The only obligation that I have to get that process is to put Him first in my life. Do you understand that? When you put God first in your life, you do it in three ways. We talk about this all the time. It's easy. But I just keep reminding you. Three ways. You read God's Word. Find your translation that you like. Read God's Word. Pray to God daily. Talk to God daily. But it's not a one-way conversation. Don't do all the talking. Let Him talk to you. And then find you a church that you love. Are you watching the internet? Find a church that you love and a place where they're preaching Jesus and get your tail in it. You do these three things, I promise you, you will survive this life. Now, it won't be perfect. You're not going to have everything that you want, but you will get through this life. And understand this. If you believe in Jesus on this side, you may not walk on the best of roads down here, but one of these days you're going to walk on the streets of gold simply because you gave your life to Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Writer continues to say, more often than not, our worries stem from the ability to focus and trust. You got to stay focused. You got to trust. We fail to focus on the priceless gift from God, the profound, precious, present moment. Instead of thanking God for the blessings of this day, we choose to fret about two more days. It don't matter. Or one of those 2 days that don't matter. Yesterday and tomorrow. They don't matter. One you can't change and the other one you may not see. Now, I don't mean that you don't plan for the future. You obviously need to plan for the future. And what I mean by that is, if you're old enough to think about retirement, you know, Monica's retired. People would say I'm semi-retired. But, I mean, that didn't happen. It took 40-something years to get us to this point. But we may not have lived to have seen it. And that's okay. But if you do live to see tomorrow, then, you know, it's okay to plan for tomorrow. But don't stay focused on tomorrow. You live today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you make things right with God. You can't worry about what you did yesterday. I don't know what you did yesterday. A week ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. You can't change it. What you can change is today. Quit worrying about yesterday and change it today. If you change it today, then you won't even have to worry about tomorrow. The reason you're worried about tomorrow is because you ain't made the changes today. With that, the work, that's good stuff here, folks. And I'm preaching to myself just as well as I am anything else. I'm not looking forward to tomorrow. I've got to put this 10-pound task back on my foot again. I'm not looking forward to tomorrow, but I'm going to do it. But I ain't going to worry about it. Because today, I get to drive. Now I know to some of you that don't mean anything. To a man, you take away his driving privileges. One of the worst things I ever had to do was take driving privileges away from my father. The day I took the key away from him was one of the hardest days of my life. And it's even harder on him. Men are just that way. You know, women, they're fine. Monica was actually tickled to give the key back to me. Here, drive for a while. Until I make a wrong turn, and then, of course, you know, she's still driving, even though she's a passenger. We all understand that, don't you? And she's sweet about it. She's sweet about it. Oh, honey, I am so glad we made it home and you didn't kill nobody today, honey. But you came close twice. But we got to live for today, folks. If we live for today, the Bible says tomorrow will take care of itself. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I've been there recently where worry and so much that it helps you. It's like you're losing faith, you're losing everything. And my daughter-in-law, Eva, had gotten this flag that says, don't worry about tomorrow. God's already there. And she wants to be able, you know, I put it in my house now. So true that we just, I know you've been hearing me for a long time, but you just lose sight of you're not good as well. You don't, you know, you might need a lot of help, but at the end of the day, you're not good at all.
No, but Satan will try to tell you that you're all alone.
And that's when you get,
that's right.
It's when you're like, I can't do it. And then you just yourself and realize that, hey, I'm not alone here.
That's right.
And that's what it takes you through it. And I thought that was a good little flash.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's right. I understand. Tomorrow will take care of itself if you take care of today. Give the Lord a hand of applause. We stew about the unfairness of the past. Have you ever stewed about something? And we agonize over the uncertainty of the future. Such thinking stirs up negative feelings that prepares our hearts and minds for equally destructive emotion called fear. Worry and fear go together. Our fears are rooted in a failure to trust. Instead of trusting God's plan for our lives, we fix our minds on the countless troubles that might come to pass. And yet, seldom. We're so much worried about tomorrow that we can't deal with today. That's what he's saying. A better strategy, of course, is to take God at his word by trusting his promise. Our Lord has promised that he will care and meet our needs. Needs, by the way, that he understands far more completely than we do. God's word. You should always trust God's word whenever it lets you down. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus instructs us to live in a day-tight compartments. Listen to this closely. He reminds us that each day has enough worries of its own without the added weight of yesterday's regrets or tomorrow's fears. Perhaps you feel disturbed by the past or threatened by the future. Perhaps you are concerned about your relationships, your health, your career, your finances. That's the big four, isn't it? I call it the big four. Look at this. Maybe you're concerned about relationships, your health, your career, your finances. The four biggest things that you'll worry about in life. Or perhaps you are simply just a warrior by nature. If so, make Matthew 6 a regular part of your daily Bible reading. This beautiful passage will remind you that God still sits in his heaven and you are his beloved child. Then perhaps you will worry less and trust God more. That's as it should be because God is trustworthy. And you are under his protection. You have to understand that. If you don't understand it, your quality of life will never be what it should be. Because I promise you, if you don't get this thing called worry under control, it will destroy your life. It will destroy you mentally, it will destroy you physically, and it will destroy you spiritually. Satan loves to throw stuff in our way and just say, there's one more thing to worry about. One more thing. And we all say it's just the one more thing that takes us over the edge. But God's word also says, and I think this is what Marshall was alluding to, God's word also says, I will not put any more on you than you can handle. And you'd be surprised when you're in a right relationship with God what you can handle. Now, life may not be fair sometimes. We're not talking about life being fair. Because it's not. I'm the first to tell you. It's not fair. There's a lot of people. Monica and I were down there, and she knows this is something that I would love to be able to do again. I'm looking at now, Monica and I were the babies down in Florida. We got all these 70, 80, 90-year-olds down there this time of year. Okay? We're the kids of the group. They're in pools. You ain't lived till you've seen a 90-year-old half naked. They're swimming. They're playing shuffleboard. They're not walking up and down the beach. They're running up and down the beach, 80, 90 years old. I'm 59 years old. I can't walk from here to there. I can't get in a pool no more because of issues. And they're enjoying life, 85, 90 years old. think it's on my nerves. I'm just going to tell you, I think it's on my nerves. But what I need to understand is, if I take care of me at 59, I might see 89. But if I do something stupid at 59, I may not even see 60. Sometimes you got to put life in perspective. It's not fair. But always know this, there's a whole lot, worse off than you. Because the time I'm looking out over this beautiful ocean, 10 stories up, looking at all these people, older people down there swimming, wishing I could swim, I come back to this one point. There would be a lot of people that would kill to be in my seat right now. Either they can't afford it, they don't have the ability to come. And here I'm complaining because a 90-year-old is half naked and swimming. Well, you think God's got a sense of humor? Huh? You think so? I think God's got a sense of humor because he's got to say, well, could, you know, son, if you wasn't so stupid, I might love you. But hey, quit worrying about that pool. Just be thankful, honey, you can sit and look at this ocean that I'm in. And maybe you'll straighten yourself up a little bit. The things we worry about and the things that we fret over, folks, are not worth it in the long run. Now, I'll say this, and I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to look at a piece of scripture. I understand this one thing. Worry doesn't change a thing. If you can change it, change it. Some things, you ain't no sense worrying about it, just do it. Change it. I was really determined when I was at the top of my weight to lose weight. I complained and complained and complained. Finally, I did something about it. I lost 45 to 50 pounds. I got more ways to go, but I'm thankful I'm at this point. But don't complain about it. Do it. But there are going to be some things, folks, that you can't do. And when it's out of your hands, it's when you say, God, here's what I'm praying for. See, I can only control me. I can't control my children. I can't control my friends. I can't control my boss. The only person I can control is me. You understand that, don't you? Just means yes.
Surrender.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
And if I can't control it, I need to pray to the one who can. And who can help. And then leave it at the foot of the cross. And if you'll do that, folks, I promise you, you'll live longer. Let's look at some scripture, Larry. There's not a funeral that I've preached in the last 30 years that I don't use this piece of scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus says, quit worrying. Heart trouble is what's coming. If you worry long enough, you can forget it. That heart's going to tell you you've worried too long. And that's no fun. That's no fun when you go in there and open your chest open and they start to have going and mess with that heart. It's no fun. I've done that. That's no fun. I'm thankful for it. But believe me, I wouldn't recommend it unless you died. They told me I was dying, so I said, well, let's go for it. But, you know, there's some things you can do in life that can change, that you can do before they split your chest open. All right, Larry. Cast thy burden upon God, and he will sustain you. You understand that? He will never suffer the righteous. If we know Jesus Christ, we're the righteous. Okay? It doesn't mean that we're right. It means we believe in the right one. That's what makes us righteous. To be moved. Moved means to be troubled. If you tell it to the Lord, he's going to hold you up. When you can't put one foot in front of the other, he's going to see that he's there. And when there's only one footprint in the sand, that means he's carrying you. You know that. And he will hold you up. In a right relationship with God. Now, if you're not, he's going to let you fall. And it hurts when you fall. But if you'll learn, take one step with God at a time, that he holds you up. And you will never fall again. You get that? You get the picture? You understand? Because he ain't going to let you. He'll carry you first before he lets you fall. Because you believed in the man called Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Father, what a privilege to be in your house. Among God's wonderful ones. Father, it is our prayer today, if there be one here today that is lost, who's never made public their decision to follow you. People ask me all the time, so why do I have to make public? Why do I got to come shake your hand? Why? And it's simply this, because everything that Jesus did, he did in a public way. He died on a cross where everyone could see him. He was stripped of his clothing in front of everybody. And he did it because he loves you. If you want to really accept Jesus Christ, just come and take me by the hand. Say, Brother Roger, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to accept him, my Lord. And say that you can be 5 or you can be 95. But this decision needs to be made. If you've not made it, time is running. The clock is ticking. Maybe you need a quiet time with this altar. Maybe there's something that's bothering you. Something that's hurting you. Something you're worried about. Why don't you leave it here at the foot of the cross? Come down here and say, Lord, you know what I'm worried about. And leave it with you. Let him take care of it. If you're looking for a good church home, all you got to say is, Brother Roger, I want to join the church. I'm a member somewhere else, but I want to join here. We would welcome you with open arms. Whatever the decision is, make it today. For tomorrow will take care of itself. You may be here, you may not be. But today is decision day. Father, bless these moments. Bless these moments. In Jesus' name. As every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed, would you come in the name?